Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. It's Thursday, December 12th, 2024. We're taking you all the way up to 6:30 tonight. And there might be some big developing news as we broadcast to you on G&D today on The Fan. Eric Flack, an award-winning reporter in town with Channel 9, has suggested that we could get restitution finally. We could get an announcement on what is going to happen. A resolution, not restitution. I think that's a Shannon Sharp word. That's like payback.
Yeah, restitution. That means if you've done something, it's going to get done to you. Restitution.
Resolution is what I was
resolution.
Looking for.
New Year's.
Revolution. I think you're looking for revolution? Capitol Hill insiders have told Eric Flack that we should find out today whether or not the RFK bill is going to pass, which would clear the way for the teams to return to the district. The spending bill that it needs to be added to is apparently finalized, which means we'll just find out if it's getting attached or not, maybe as soon as today. So we should try to track him down and see what's going on there. This could be a pretty big day.
Yes. You find out one way or the other. I mean, all we want is information. If it's bad, we'll grouse and complain about it. It'll be annoying, but at least we know.
To me, it's the not knowing. Means that it wouldn't be added, which means not that D.C. getting the land back is dead, but that you have to wait until next calendar year, several more months to push it back, and probably another football season at FedEx Field, Northwest Stadium.
At minimum. I mean, it's like playing a board game where it's like you roll the dice, you move forward three steps. You're like, okay, here we are. We're three steps later, and then you're there for a while, and then it's your turn again, and someone goes up and goes, you know what, by the way, you got to go back 17 steps. That's what it would be like. That doesn't mean it's over. I mean, maybe it could. Maybe the team just finally says, you know what? We're sick and tired. Not the team, but the Harris Ownership Group. We are tired of navigating these waters that seem to have endless twists and turns. There's something that we can do right now. Maybe we just do that. So this is a pretty big day.
You know how I feel? It's getting too complicated. It's always been arduous, and there are more hurdles than we wanted to acknowledge, and it seems like it's mission impossible. It's just a shell game. It's like every single time you solve one dilemma, something else happens.
It's a Hydra, yeah.
And it just never ends. I compare this to a video game where you get past the bad guy at the end of the level, and then there's another bad guy waiting for you. And it just, in perpetuity, it feels like. The report yesterday from the Post that Muriel Bowser had come out saying Maryland is holding up the RFK Stadium deal. The key bridge is involved. There's a multi-party negotiation ongoing. It's always something.
It's always something.
It was, I don't even remember, Steve Daines in Montana. And then it was the Maryland Senators. And then it was Jets. And now it's the key bridge. And at what point do you just kind of go, this is too big of a pain in my tuchus? I would just like a football stadium. Everyone else gets football stadiums. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing the news constantly.
Yep.
Let's just path of least resistance, pick some land, build something amazing. It might not be in the neighborhood that you want. It might not be the dream location. Make it the dream location. Make that area awesome. Do what they wouldn't do at FedEx 1.0 and build up the town center around it. That, you know, that's where I've been. If they can't get this thing done by the end of this calendar year, and it sounds like today could be a telling
year. Yeah, I'd be fascinated to know what the Hog ownership group is thinking, right, in terms of this. Because, you know, when you're talking about billions of dollars over, you know, decades, we're out of patience. You and me are so irritated, so annoyed by all this.
Fairness,
I think fans are too.
We're in year 10 of this too.
Right.
They are in year one and a half.
Yeah.
So like Aaron Rodgers was asked in a press conference. I don't know if you saw this clip. It was pretty funny. But Aaron Rodgers was asked a question about the Jets missing the playoffs. I think it's like 16 straight years or something. Mm-hmm. Since they made it to the AFC title game with Mark Sanchez in his sophomore year with Rex Ryan. They are the only team in the NFL, and frankly, the only team in all of sports. Think about the four major sports.
Yeah.
They have the longest playoff drought. Not a playoff win, just getting to the playoffs in all of sports. And so he's at the podium after their loss this weekend to the Dolphins in overtime, and someone said, what do you have to say about, you know, whatever that it is, 15 straight years of not making the playoffs? And Rodgers said, well, I'm a part of one of those years, which actually you're a part of two. But
two.
I get his point that he was hurt and couldn't really help last year. But he's like, I can answer to one of those years. I think that's how the Hogs probably feel, where respectfully, Grant and Danny, or in this case, me, who's complaining, I know you've been at this for 10 years, and Bruce made a lot of promises that he never actually finished, and Jason Wright was pushing the ball down the field and didn't get into the end zone. And every step of the way, this thing, we heard all the great things that were happening, and there's never been a ribbon cutting. There's never been so much as knowing where the stadium's going to be. Their point is, not my fault. Not my cross to bear.
We just started fighting here. So, you know, who knows where they are in terms of patience? Who knows where they are in terms of the sight line to, hey, even if it doesn't work today, we got another 7 months, and that's fine. It's worth it to us to wait. It could also not be. I mean, I have no idea, honestly, on this front. So, yeah, but today's big. So the path of least resistance, if there is such a thing, in this never-ending tug of war between local municipalities, federal government, and everything else. It's unique to D.C. that nobody else has to deal with. The local and state government gets involved when, like, Kansas City wants a stadium, or you know, Buffalo wants a new stadium, or, you know, L.A. or whatever. This is different. This is, again, federal land. It's got to be given to the D.C. City Council, and then half the council doesn't want it. All the residents around there don't want it. So there's endless hurdles here. They might go, we're actually pretty confident. Now, every time you're confident, Steve Daines pops up and is like, not so fast, my friend, Lee Corso style. Make sure you talk to these people that live a few thousand miles away, and then I'll be satisfied. Who knows? Now, it's like, does Josh Harris have to contribute to the bridge repair? I mean, I have no idea, honestly, at this point. But it is exhausting to follow when all of us, not all of us, so many of us are rooting for one outcome. And this is not a sports part. This is not a, did you sign this guy in free agency? Did you hire this coach? Did you trade this player? Who are you drafting? The normal if and then, right? The normal, I want to make the team better, so here's how I do it. This is the business side meets politics side, meets like more politics side, meets local politics, which meets national politics. And you're subject to all these, the whims of so many people that aren't invested the way you are. It's so annoying.
The RFK site is the best option and should be the preference. Because having teams in the city is, in an ideal situation, just the way to go. I mean, it's better than not having them in the city. And this goes back to when we were talking about, even when I was jacked up about the Caps and the Wiz going to Virginia. Like, in a perfect world, yeah, the teams would always be in D.C., metro accessible, fairly equidistant for those in Virginia and Maryland, and kind of centered up. Like, that is ideal. Also, having experienced game days for the D.C. Defenders, who are just at Audi, which is right down here near the Navy Yard. I mean, there are bars you can go to, and you can walk to the game, and there is something awesome about that urban game day experience that so many of us at Nats Park locally, or even going to other games in other cities, Philly or something, like, we've experienced.
Yeah.
It is very, very cool. I say that then, and I put a period on that sentence to say that one argument that does not hold up for me, and again, I think I'm in the minority on this, is anything that has to do with how amazing the old RFK was. I do think there's some chasing ghosts on that front.
I firmly believe that.
Where it's like, your memories with your dad, and by the way, I went to one game at RFK ever with my father, and it's a great memory, and I'll have it until the end of time. But, you know, grandpa went there, and dad went there, and that place shook, and this game was there. That should not enter the chat for me. It's not really relevant. Like, those days, as amazing as they were, should kind of be wrapped up and put under the tree and left alone. They're gone.
Yep.
This is not going to be that. The stands won't shake.
Because that's not up to code.
Right. I mean, and if they do, it'll be the new version of them shaking, which isn't as cool.
Uh-huh.
And Daryl Green and Monty Coleman and Dexter Manley and Joe Theismann ain't walking through that door.
Yeah, we're not doing another seat cushion game. It's not coming back.
But that does not mean that RFK isn't the right location. It's just, like, there's two groups of, I would say there's two types of arguments. There is, you got to be in D.C. because D.C. is the way to go because why wouldn't you? And you talk about Metro and all these things, obvious and correct. And then there's people going, dude, that's where the three Super Bowl teams were. That stadium was the best. It rocked. It went up and down. Watch the videos, man. To me, that's just irrelevant, sadly.
Agreed. Yeah, and you know, I'm not belittling anybody's memories. Again, I couldn't go to many games. I only went to a couple, despite being a lifelong and you know, devout Redskins fan. You couldn't get tickets. We didn't know the right people. We only got a couple where like somebody got sick or somebody couldn't use one because they were out of town for like a wedding, and then that was it. Over you know decades of fandom, but yeah, my memories are incredible. And but to your point, that's not coming back. Football has changed. You know, this is before modern free agency. Really, like the way that was can never be. Now the logistics can be in a similar way. They can be improved upon in terms of getting to the game. What's going on around. The field and the stadium and the vibrancy of that neighborhood, et cetera. There's a lot of things that can be awesome, that can be 2.0 versions, that can be dramatically improved. To me, it's the location that makes the most sense, most practical.
Absolutely.
And it's easiest both for residents in the district, in Maryland, Virginia, people who want to come in. Everyone's got to sacrifice a little bit. Local residents or people in D.C., you're going to sacrifice some just because it's now there's a stadium in your neighborhood that you may not want 300 some odd days a year. Maryland residents have to commute, so do Virginia residents. We're all kind of given a little bit of something. Everyone comes to the table. They leave with a little bit more than they got, but they also had to give something up. If it's a one municipality or the other, in Maryland or Virginia, then you know the sacrifices are more for those other sides. But to me, it's like, it's either, right now, it seems like it's either there or it's where they are now. And that's scary to me. You know? Like,
yeah, I don't think there's another option right now. I mean, yeah. Virginia
took itself right out of the running.
It could be revitalized in terms of its chances and interest, but it doesn't really seem like Virginia's interested. I mean, they're not, you know, Wes Moore is at the park more than Frankie Louvu.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, every time you go to a training camp practice, like, he's out there and he's at games. Like, he's on the sideline more than Jeff Driscoll.
It's like looking over Cliff's shoulder for a play call on the sheet, you know?
Exactly. He wants this thing. He's made that pretty clear. D.C. wants this thing. They have desperately tried to attach themselves to the Commanders, really, since the moment of the Harris ownership group taking over,
mm-hmm.
to the point where, you know, when Daryl Green's having his big week and he's being honored and he's coming on the radio station, you know, they're reaching out to be involved in that. Like, mm-hmm. they want to be known as kind of in a relationship bunned up with football in D.C., which was not the case
right
prior to several months ago. Now, I still don't know, and this brushes up against politics, I guess, in some way, so sorry, everybody, but weren't we told for years that D.C. didn't have the money for the Wizards and the Capitals, which they found, and that they didn't have the money for the Commanders as well? How would they do all of it? That is something no one's answered for me yet. Like, we went from, and my point is always that's stupid to talk. It's like the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
You're wasting your breath to tell me you can't acquire this player because of the salary cap, because you can always find a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that way with money, too, like when it comes to cities and politics and whatever. But that was the big thing was, well, you can't have both the Wizards and the Capitals and the Commanders. So we would take calls based on these experts telling us this. Would you rather have the basketball and hockey teams still there every day for their seasons, or would you have the football team?
Totally.
And now they've given Ted Leonsis the money to revitalize the arena, which I think is the better decision because it just helps you more than a football stadium will economically. But also they're going to help with a football stadium maybe. But I still haven't heard how that's going to work after we were told it wouldn't work.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, again, no one seems to be talking about that part of it. It's now the I-line is focused on
getting the land.
Different community or different committees on Capitol Hill, different congressmen, then the different senators, the different, you know, the makeups there. Then did you make Steve Daines happy? Now have you made sure Jamie Raskin and some of the other, what's not O'Connell? I forget the guy's name. It's not important. Whatever. The Maryland congressman and the Maryland senators happy? Have you made Wes Moore happy? Are they satisfied that if you leave current Nubs Field? Are you going to build something nice for them and then sell it? Who knows what everybody has to you know, what hoops people have to jump through. But that was a pretty big thing, to your point, that to build something, it's going to cost you a lot. Like, a lot. Billions is how much this thing costs. And I'm sure the Harris Ownership Group is going to come up with some of that. I'm sure there'll be a construction loan somewhere. But I don't know if it's a bond. I don't know if it's money borrowed, because at one point it was, we can't borrow anymore. And then it's like, you know what it turns out? This is so funny. We can borrow more. We can do it. Here's money for Ted Leonsis and the stadium right down there, Cap One. And who knows where the money's coming from for the Nats maintenance thing? That stadium's in dire need of some polish and a couple screws tightened here, there, and everywhere. So that's coming up too. I mean, I never know. I never know these sorts of things. I basically, what I've learned, and this is probably not a great thing to throw out there, but I don't believe anybody. Yeah. Like at this point, where it's like, if you tell me something definitive, I don't mean like a reporter, but I mean like from a politician's mind, when they're up there stumping and telling you, we can't do this. And then weeks later they can, and not only they can, but they do. And it's the opposite of what they said. It's sort of like, I don't know, man, just let me know if I have to move anything, if I have to sign anything, if you need me to like move my car, I'll do it.
We're going to try to get Eric Flack on to answer some of our questions. But again, it was his report today that his sources were telling him that we could find out by the end of close of business today whether or not the RFK land is going to be attached to the bill that it needs to be. And if it's not, and we find that out that that's the case today, then it could be big, big trouble for trying to get that done before the end of this, I almost said league year, sports on the brain.
Oh, yeah.
But the end of this congressional
year. The year.
Yeah. I suppose. I just got tagged on this. Yesterday, you brought us the story in the double play about drones hovering over some random area in New Jersey. So for people that didn't hear about this, the cliff notes are, give us 30 seconds, Danny. Just bring people up to speed, because I'm bringing this up for a reason.
Sure. Over the last couple of weeks, there have been drones of varying size, and like not one or two here and there. It looks like a coordinated, concerted type effort to fly over all sorts of locations in New Jersey, some of them as big as cars. People see them, and when you shine lights on them, they turn dark. They're clearly responding to stimuli,
yeah.
And they're looking at military sites, golf courses, people's homes, you know, civilian targets, everything all over the place. They're constantly there, and everybody's freaking out because nobody has an explanation.
No one knows where they're coming from.
Yeah.
The governor of New Jersey is involved, going, we have no information on this.
I believe declared a state of emergency.
We can't figure this out, right?
Yeah.
How about this? Again, I think this is real. Someone just tagged me in this. This is from the office of the Stafford County Sheriff in our listening area. Suspicious incident. There have been reports of suspicious drones flying over Stafford County, King George County, and Spotsylvania County. I was joking yesterday about King George County. Like, the aliens don't really care what's going on in King George County. They're not big fans of the foxes, right? The Stafford County Sheriff's Office has been in contact with federal law enforcement agencies regarding the drones, and they're aware of recent activity. It has been requested that any information and tips get reported, blah, 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 blah. Danny, King George County, the greatest county in all the land. My hometown, little King George, one high school town, about 25,000 people on a good day. Supposedly, if this Facebook page of the Stafford County Sheriff is correct, David Decatur, it looks like, there have been suspicious reports of drones.
Here we go.
Flying over Stafford, King George, and Spotsy.
Yep. Again, this is what everyone should be talking about. There should be nothing. The outrage machine needs to pause, stop, move, like slide that to the side. There'll be plenty for you for the rest of 300 some odd days of the year where you can get so mad at the other side. And we both agree with you, by the way. We both think what you think. The thing that you hate, we hate it too. We're on your side.
So I agree, by the way,
yep,
that everyone should be talking about this, and this is fascinating and everyone should care about it. I also think more than you probably do that a lot of the sightings is just people are now in a frenzy. And so a bird flies by, and they saw it for a split second, and it was a drone. There's a lot of that, I think. There's a, oh, you guys saw something? Me too. I do think that that happens in moments like this.
Interesting. That seems like downplaying. And I don't have time for that right now because it's too widespread, and the governor of the state isn't responding to a dude being like, I seen it up there. Everyone's seeing it. They respond to light, and they turn dark.
Are
they more trustworthy than down there in Stafford?
Well, I have no. I mean, has the governor of Virginia commented? I bet he hasn't.
Just very new. Give it a couple of days.
And when he does, then I'll provide it with more credibility.
Fair enough.
Right now, people in New Jersey are seeing drones, and now you know little Johnny, who's got his camera company that he runs for weddings, is flying a drone around, and people are saying, "I see one too." So I think we need to calm down a little bit, but we should treat this as being very compelling. We should absolutely be doing our research. We should be digging in. News stations should be covering it. It is very interesting. I will grant you that.
It's insane. Again, the drones. Oh, I know that. It's got a cell phone on it, and there's a video.
I took pictures at your buddy's bachelor party.
It's 100 feet tall, and then they have a really cool one for a pregame video where it goes through somebody's house. It's amazing. The size of cars. They're hovering. They're the size of cars.
If these are the size of cars, then I'll be more intrigued. All it says is that there have been some drone sightings. But, Guy, King George County.
Been a few Rubens.
Like, that was the bit I did yesterday.
I know.
The whatever's happening is catching up to my bits in real time.
Yeah, the drone heard you. And it was like, let's go down to King George.
Right, which county is that?
Let's visit.
Which county is he referencing? Let's go listen in and check it out.
We heard the radio signal. We'll go down there.
Most likely, military related. Second most likely, private Tony Stark type dude who runs some rich company like billionaire flying things around without permission. Third most likely, another country getting information. And then like 10,000 feet. And then like a 1% chance that it's another species from another place.
Okay. Number one, another country. 2 billion light years to the next thing. Our own advanced military capability, super secret. We have to let people panic because we're testing something.
We have silly military stuff. Yeah.
All the space in the history of time, humanity, and otherwise.
Yeah.
Aliens. Not on the list. Some guy. It's not some guy.
Some guy. It could be Elon.
Yeah.
It could be Bezos. Could be a guy we don't even know who's right. Like those
like
two.
Like a different dude. That's right. Yeah. It's,
you know who's worth $1 billion I just found out today?
Who's that?
Jerry Seinfeld is a billionaire.
Jerry Seinfeld a billionaire?
Isn't that insane?
I mean, I knew he'd obviously be really, really well off.
His net worth is $1.2 billion. It could be Seinfeld.
Oh, I'm sure it is. The most successful sitcom of all time.
No, but I mean, it could be Seinfeld flying these things around.
Oh, but no, I say, because it's not. I gotcha. Yeah, it's not. It's not.
I'm just saying it could be that.
No, I mean, it's not, though.
It's certainly not Seinfeld, but it could be a guy like him. Who's just a bored billionaire, just flying some car-sized
flying car drones around.
Yeah.
Causing a panic.
And then when the governor gets involved and federal government's involved, you go, oh, whoopsie.
It's like, I gotta stop. It's too much.
Forgiveness, not permission. G&D with you. We're taking you up to 6:30. We're actually hitting the airport today. We are going to New Orleans tonight, which should be fun. Speaking of which, next, Commanders Saints, Chase Young, going to strap it up against the Commanders. Is that something you care about? We'll get into that next.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, thank you for listening to the program. We got a big football game the Commanders are taking part in this weekend. Important December football, the way it should be with the weather cold, in the winter, playoffs in the horizon. Washington's got a chance to beat a Saints team that is undermanned. They've already fired their coach. They're going to be playing now without their starting quarterback. But one of the storylines in this game that I think is so interesting, it really hasn't gotten a lot of run this week, is that Chase Young's playing decent football. His sack total is low. So if you just look at his football card and you see 3.5 sacks, That's not impressive, but he's coming off 10 pressures last week, which ties his career high. He's actually been one of the more successful pass rushers in the league in terms of win rate and pressures on the season, top five in the NFL. He's positioned better, Danny, to go out and have a big game against Washington this week.
He's actually due, and not just because he hasn't played well, but because he has and hasn't gotten a lot of the counting stats that come with it.
But a year ago, when he played against the Commanders, not long after they traded him to San Francisco, as part of that rotation, he was kind of struggling. It had fallen out of favor. If you remember, there were some questions at that time after some clips were circulating online where he quit on plays and stuff. Maybe he wasn't in a good head place, I don't know. But he clearly was not a guy they were planning on bringing back already. It wasn't going well. That hasn't been the case in New Orleans, where he got decent money. He's come in, and he's played at a pretty high level without the sacks to show for it. But this is the second time now he's playing the Commanders. So I guess the question is, what is people's intrigue in that storyline? Are you over it? Because it's a different regime than the one that drafted him. Uh-huh. The people that decided not to give him his fifth-year rookie option have all left the building. We also got the Chase Young revenge game already. It wasn't very vengeful. He had one tackle and did nothing else for the 49ers last year, but we saw him play against Washington in a road game last season. I guess it was a home game. It was at home against Brock Purdy had a big day. They lost 27-10 against San Francisco. But it's the second time he's played him. There's a lot of reasons why maybe this wouldn't be that interesting to people anymore.
Yeah, I get the sense that most people are over it and moved on. I am not. You're much better at this than I am. When I get screamed at for years about something and I was right and other people weren't, I need more. I just want everyone to face it. I need everybody that yelled at me for so long to have to swim in their incorrectness and everything else. I keep score. So for a lot of people, I think they've kind of moved on and don't really care. But for me, last year, I think there was a little bit of air out of the balloon because Washington was so bad. Everyone was going to get fired. The regime that drafted him, who was terrible, was going to get fired. This team was going nowhere anyway. San Francisco's good. They're going to come in here and beat the brakes off you. He'll barely be a factor and sort of that's that. Who cares? But this now, there's something on this, right? This matters for Washington. Probably matters a lot less for New Orleans. Young is probably, you know, trying to get himself a free agent deal at some point. But for Washington, there's something on the line here. You win this game, your postseason chances go through the roof. If he plays spoiler, if he has a sack fumble late in this one, then all the people that got real quiet for the last couple of years will come out of the woodwork and see, I told you, Chase Young a baller, though, and game wrecker and all the other incorrect things that people will say. But there's a lot more on this one here this time around for Washington. And that kind of, to me, raises the stakes a little bit. So this is like my number one or two storyline in here after Washington going to the postseason. Obviously, and Jaden Daniels and everybody else playing well and kind of capitalizing on a down team. But I'm very in on the storyline. I get the sense I'm in the dramatic minority, though.
I think you are. I don't know. We can open up the phones on this and try to touch the people and try to take a temperature. But I can say I'm opposite you in a sense. Like, that does not mean I'm not interested in what happens with Chase Young's career. I will always be interested in that. He was the number two pick. He was viewed as this generational talent that was going to be the next great pass rusher in the league. People like me, who are not scouts, but who talk to all the people who do that for a living, whether it's scouting or being in a front office or what have you, we were told this guy was kind of can't miss, that he's going to be awesome. And so this idea that he missed, and some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, some of which has gotten out there, some of which hasn't, and maybe over years will, but some of the work habits and the off-the-field burning of the candle at both ends and the things that led to maybe Chase Young just never really reaching his full promise and falling out of the good graces of the previous regime and staff, both based on performance and some of the other stuff that they didn't love about his time here. It makes me interested in what becomes of him. But if you're asking, is this a storyline this weekend that I care a lot about? I would say no to that. And that's the question for you guys on the phones at 800-636-1067. Do you find yourself particularly intrigued by Chase Young playing Washington, the Chase Young angle of this game, a quote-unquote revenge game, yes or no? 800-636-1067. Doesn't mean I don't think he can beat him with a big play, because I think he could go out and have a sack or two or have some TFLs. He's playing really well. But we got this game once. Like last year, right after they traded him, when they had just broken up, and you went to the same party he was going to be at, That was interesting to me. He came to your stadium. Mm-hmm. You didn't go visit him. He was back on the sideline in Landover, Maryland, with the team you traded him to about a month and a half after that, roughly. And by the way, he didn't do anything in the game. He had one tackle, as I mentioned. Like, that was the story. So you've already had that. It's another team removed, and the proof's kind of even more in the pudding. Like, the jury has returned the verdict. He's a guy.
Right.
A guy who's playing pretty well,
mm-hmm.
but I've just kind of lost some of the passion for it, I guess.
Yeah, which I get. I mean, to me, the passion is, if Washington was like they were last year, full first year of a rebuild, this was a team that was going to win four games or five games and pick in the top seven or eight, I wouldn't care the same way. But because there's so much on the line here, and this, you know, the guy we spent so much damn time and energy and focus and discussion items on is now on the other side in a more meaningful game. Like, last year's San Francisco game meant nothing to me. You know what I mean? It's like I actually am rooting for him to get beaten up so nobody gets to hide. So nobody gets to pretend that we're actually better than we play. We really are. I wanted none of that. I wanted no cover for any of the losers that were running this thing for so long, right? So now there's a lot. This game matters a huge amount.
That's another point.
And that's kind of my angle here.
It does matter a lot, for sure. But it, you know, Cam Jordan can wreck the game more than Chase Young.
Totally.
I care more about him. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly, like, what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, it matters. It matters that any player on the Saints, you know, if Paulson Adebo was healthy, I pick him because his name is Paulson, which I find really funny.
Mm-hmm.
But if Paulson Adebo was healthy, he could beat them too.
Uh-huh.
And it matters. It doesn't matter more because it's Chase Young, in my opinion. But that's the other thing. If Rivera was still here, luckily that's not the case. You know, if
you imagine
the front office was the same, yeah, that's interesting because Chase Young is trying to get back at the guys that he feel like, you know, still probably feels like did him wrong. Those guys are all gone. It's a completely different cast of characters. He didn't even really break up with this group. Let's go to Alex in Atlanta listening on the Odyssey app. The Chase Young Commanders storyline this week, interesting to you or no?
Not really. It's a nothing burger. I'm you know, Danny, I'll say I'm with you 95% of the time. Grant, I love you, but you and I are on opposite sides of the spectrum a lot of times. Danny, you're becoming Rooster here. You're just holding on to this anger, and you want to prove yourself right the whole time. And
oh, I'm so desperate for that.
You're
not
Rooster. You're not Rooster, man. Don't stoop to that level.
That made me laugh. No, but I appreciate it. But you've diagnosed my pathology 100% correctly. Even from Atlanta on the Odyssey app, I didn't need to sit down in the chair and pay you $400 an hour for it. That's correct. Yeah, I mean, it's for this one specifically, because we spent so much. It wasn't a seventh rounder we were arguing about or whatever. The same way with Griffin and other guys that are at the top of the board, number two overall pick, where you're kind of going, hey, I'm on one side of this and everybody else is on the other. Like, I want that time back. You know what I mean? Like, we did that, and I pour a
How
lot of energy.
How long does that go? Or is that it ever?
It's a long time. I'm not done yet. I don't know when. I'm not going to care. Maybe three teams from now, maybe a Super Bowl from now, I won't care. But the same way, like, I'm happily married. You know, I love my wife so much. An ex-girlfriend trots by and we're in direct competition for something, I'll be interested just to see what happens. You know, like, there's more because of how much we put into it.
Does anybody feel what Danny feels on this? 800-636-1067. Or are you more on the side of, it feels like it was 5 years ago that Chase Young was good for this football team, because that's how long it's been.
It was, yeah.
It was a long time ago. It didn't work. We kind of been there and done that. And I got bigger fish to fry. I'm trying to make the playoffs right now. Grant and Danny on the Fan. The boys are getting ready to fly to New Orleans. We will be in the air by 8 o'clock tonight. I say 8 o'clock because our flight just got pushed back a little bit. So it might even be after 8 o'clock now.
Yeah, it's post-8.
What did we get pushed back to?
8:50.
Oh, so we went from 7:50 to 8:50?
Oh, yeah. And they usually just stop pushing it back. It's usually just, that's enough pushing back. It'll
Here
be fine
go.
From now on.
Danny
Again,
Rouillet.
Everyone should respect travel. It's going to work out. We should always be stunned when it does.
Well, but yesterday's big ordeal was we would never make it to the airport. And my point is, we should not be concerned about this. We will make our flight. we're sure as hell going to make our flight now.
We'll make it now.
We don't have anything to worry about.
Plenty of time for five guys and six guys and everything else.
We're going to get that five guys that I promised you boys.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all over that. But we're pushed back an hour. We're fine. Now, we're going to have about maybe 25 minutes as of right now to make our connection, which in Charlotte, the biggest airport in the world, shouldn't be much of an issue. But more on this as it develops.
Yeah.
I did just get confirmation from Dad that he's going to eat some crab on this trip.
Nice.
Which he has not tried yet. And I'm excited about that, but also nervous because I feel like you want to try that like near your local hospital and like your urgent care of choice.
But let's not poo-poo it. I mean, he's going to try some.
No, I'm very excited that he is, but like... Just like the ambulance on Bourbon Street thing could be a lot. So I'm just hoping for the best.
Yeah, it's almost like they're doing an Uber pool, you know, picking up drunk guys and get one shellfish allergy.
Three guys in the back of the Uber, or back in the ambulance. A couple of dudes who drank too much and fell down and hit their head, and Darius who ate a crab. But we're going to see where this takes us. It's going to be a fun trip. Lots of tweets flying in. We got calls as well, 800-636-1067. The question at hand is, with Chase Young getting ready to strap it up against the Commanders this weekend, do you care about him or this storyline anymore? My answer is no. They played him last year when he was on San Francisco. The staff that drafted him is gone. Danny's not there yet.
Yeah, 100% it matters. If I spend hundreds of hours of time and energy and investment and arguments, I'm invested. That doesn't just go away. Eventually it might. Like, I'm still invested in Bryce Harper. I care one way or the other. In 10 years, maybe I won't anymore. I'm still very much so. It still burns. Like, I can't shut off that passion switch like that. And it seems like a lot of people can.
I got a great tweet here from Nick who said, I'd forgotten Chase Young was on the Saints. He doesn't matter to me at all. I care as much about him as if they were playing Casey Tuhill, which is really funny. I care more about Chase Young against Washington than Casey Tuhill. I think he's being a little hyperbolic. But I don't care that much more. Like, John Ridgeway is on the Saints as well.
Mm-hmm.
I care a little bit more that they're playing Chase Young than that they're playing John Ridgeway, but it's closer to them playing John Ridgeway than if they were playing Terry McLaurin or something like that.
Yep.
Brian says, I will remember Chase Young's football path as much as I remember losing my second molar. A lot of zings. A lot of people that don't care that
Some much. Zings.
Let's go to Matt Nashburn on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the radio. How you doing? Go ahead.
How you doing, guys?
That was a tough one for Matt there.
And for us as a radio show.
Yeah. Screeching Halt. That's what I was looking for.
He did say hello, which was nice. Let's go to Charles, who's in D.C. Hello, Charles.
Grant and Danny.
That's what we're looking for.
Grant, you really need to stop it, Grant. You really need to stop. You know good and well that you care a whole lot more whether the Commanders are wearing the black uniforms than them facing Chase Young this week. You know it. You know it. And Danny, it's almost as if I want to say that it's not like Tom Brady returning back to New England. It's nowhere near that. We're talking about Chase Young facing the possibly 11-2 Commanders. There's such a major, much more bigger storyline that we could be talking about. But I think the conversation should be whether or not the black uniforms are going to be worn this weekend. That's what I think.
I think we know what uniforms they wear. They put that out before the season starts. This is not a black uniform game.
Yeah, so respectfully, they could wear underpants. They could go shirts and skins. They could wear pink. I don't care about that at all.
How did they just get to 11-2, by the way?
He said they could be 11-2. A couple things broke their way.
Is that what he was
I think that was the implication.
Like, they could have won a few more games because they're actually not close to 11-2. But he's saying... This team's good enough that they hypothetically could be 11-2.
Maybe that's what that was.
Okay. All right. I'm good on that. I don't get the zing about the black uniforms. You want them to wear those, I guess. That's fine. If you want them to wear those.
I'd like the team colors. I'd love for them to do that. Like, give me that at some point.
How about the real burgundy,
mm-hmm.
the real gold, the real uniforms from before they changed to the Commanders? You could still have the block W. You could still be the Commanders. but you got to give me the uniforms back in the right colors. How do we feel about that? Drew is in New Orleans on the Odyssey app. We're going to be joining you soon, Drew. What's up?
Yeah, we're almost there. We had to pick our daughter up from Alabama to go to the game. But on the storyline...
Did you drive from here?
What? Yeah.
No way.
It was a bye week. That's what you do on a bye week. You drive across the country. But we'll be back in time for Philly. And that's what I was going to say is this storyline is story 11 out of 10. And the quarterback for New Orleans, what are we going to do about Noah Brown and how are we going to backfill him? You know, is Lattimore starting and playing? Those are all big storylines. This one's under, what do you eat in New Orleans over the weekend? And, how much do you want Pittsburgh to beat the Eagles? Then we get this one. So, unless Chase wrecks the game, then on Monday this could be a story. So I hope that doesn't happen.
So, Drew, by the way, we're going to be broadcasting live tomorrow, assuming we make it to New Orleans by then.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
At Hotel Monteleon right off Bourbon Street. And then Monday we'll be at Brennan. So if you're around, hopefully we bump into you, buddy, all right?
We'll see you down there. Hurricanes in hand.
Let's go. What a trip my guy's on. First of all, driving is kind of a show.
That's a long drive.
How long do we think that is?
I mean, I wouldn't even be able to hazard a guess.
Well, first he's stopping in Alabama.
Which that's not down the street. That's not Manassas. You know what I mean?
This
that's
a waste. 18 hours.
That sounds, I was going to say 18, 20, 25, something
like
that.
And what is he doing?
I don't know. Some people love that bit, man.
18 hours?
Yeah.
Somebody likes that?
Yeah. Just like, let's go on a road trip.
I guess if you drive 9 or 10, let's say, or 8, and you go and you spend a couple of days where your daughter's at school, mm-hmm. and you see her college town in Tuscaloosa or whatever, I don't know, Auburn or something. And then you get in the car, and you're retired, let's say, so you're there for 2 or 3 days. Hop in the car, and now you got 9 more hours to get to New Orleans. Maybe I could figure that out, but that still sounds pretty awful.
It's a lot. I mean, for my 21st birthday, we did a road trip type bit where we visited friends in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, then went to Birmingham to visit some friends, then went to St. Louis, and then, drove all the way back. And I mean, I was like, I don't want to do that again. I'm glad I did it. I had so much alcohols, I'm good.
Top of the hour as soon as we return. Looks like some breaking and developing news from Eric Flack on whether or not the RFK bill will be included into the budget resolution that's coming today, which would be the big hurdle, which would be what we need to know if D.C.'s getting this land to build a stadium on. And it sounds like he's starting to get some info on that, and he'll have it for us right at the top of the hour on Grant and Danny.